This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Okay.
All right,
yeah, good. We good.
All right, we good. All right, we good.
We finally have a studio.
Yes.
Welcome into the Courtney Fallon Experience, Mr. Greg Hill, lead host of the morning show. Well, many years at the Entercom affiliate.
I'm the namesake, so, I mean, of course I'm the lead host, but I'm not the talent.
We had so much trouble finding a studio because you had 18,000 ad reads that you had to
well,
do. Oh, jeez.
I have to, you know, it's part of the job. You know what I mean?
Eastern Standard. I'm looking at something right now. Eastern Standard Provisions. I mean, did you do this?
Yeah, I did that.
You did that one?
They make gourmet pretzels, and they're delicious.
Did you do this? You did a Subaru. They had to call you back in to do a Subaru. I mean, like, listen, we have a celebrity in the studio on the podcast.
Big celebrity.
But we also have some breaking news. I mean, we break news, like, every day. Apparently, since I broke the McDaniels news last week, it's like every single person at the station has to have their scoop.
Yeah.
Christian Fourier dropped a bomb the other day. Wiggy's got some bomb. You had some news about Tom Brady.
Yeah. I mean, everybody, apparently it angered like the mainstream sports media that I was speculating about things. But
yeah.
I mean, that's kind of what it's, that's what we do, is speculate.
Yeah.
Right?
Well, I mean, but that's the thing. Like, the people here at the station asked me to take off. I mean, I'm a traditional NFL reporter, so on-air host and reporter for EI. He's like, take the reporter thing out.
Yeah,
of
no,
the
you
bio.
Don't, yeah, we don't want. Well, I've
leveled down to be just a schmoozer, which I'm fine. You know, they call me the NFL Yenta. Do you know what a Yenta is?
Yeah, I think so.
A Yenta is a village gossip.
Okay.
Yeah.
I saw the movie with Barbara Streisand. Was that the name of that movie? I think it was. Oh, no. Yentl was the name of that movie.
Yeah. Oh, it is like Fiddler on the Roof?
But yeah, we don't, I mean, this is, it's
radio.
Radio.
Yeah,
we don't need reporters or journalists or, you know, it's not.
It's the best way. I mean, like, literally, I'm walking in the studio and we were about to end your show and then Jermaine Wiggins is talking about, he's having a conversation with you about porn.
Right.
With Dale Arnold.
Right.
Like, only on sports radio can that happen, and people just be totally okay with
it. Yeah, sports radio or like, everywhere else, like the workplace, the bar, the restaurant. I mean, you know, that's what you do, is talk about things that people talk about.
Well, tell
everyone.
You
don't talk about porn on the podcast a lot?
No. Why not? That's probably for, like, a Lucy and Elaine show.
Oh, okay.
I try to keep it PG-13.
Oh, you do?
Yeah.
Yeah.
At least for now.
Okay.
Yeah. Tell everyone this, what did you, your scoop that you had with Brady cleaned out his...
Well, yeah. I mean, I was told that the Bungingen Brady suite at Gillette had been cleaned.
Mm-hmm.
And
had been cleaned spiritually as well.
Yeah, so it was cleaned, but apparently it was just the refrigerator was cleaned out of whatever, like, leftover avocado gelato was in there or whatever. So,
like, no, like, sugar-free candy gone.
And then I stand by my other scoop, which was that They have moved. They have begun to make their preparations to move to the house in Greenwich.
Yeah.
So I'm not backing down on that until I hear otherwise.
Isn't it amazing though that some of the pundits it's such a cluster bleep. Like everyone in like you said that like. The Tom Currans, the Mike Giardis, the this, like, you know, all the Nesson people, the Athletic. It's like as soon as you have a story, they sink their teeth in like cats.
Yeah.
They go in and they're like, but how did you find out this story?
Well, they don't want
to need to know, and I need to backtrack, and then they have to like double check, and then they have to like asterisk your story and say like, well, I don't 100% agree. Like, it's amazing to me that like some of these people, they come on our station and they're trying to knock you down. It's just, it's complete bullcrap.
Well,
I don't know. I mean, we're newly like colleagues, but like, yeah. I'm ready to go to war for you right now.
Oh, I really appreciate that.
You know, like I find it ridiculous.
Yeah. I think in some cases there are people that have been pretty close to the Brady camp or whatever. And so if they didn't have a scoop, then theoretically maybe they're concerned that reputation of being close and having the best sources wouldn't exist. So
yeah.
I don't know. I don't pay much attention.
I know
it.
You don't.
I don't All want right. you to either.
Like
don't get yourself into any kind of a physical altercation. I eschew violence.
No.
Okay.
I was like I got into one fight 15 years ago and I shattered my nose
happened?
And I'll never. I got punched in the face
by a chick
by a girl.
Or,
yeah.
By a girl.
Yeah.
Would you steal her boyfriend or something?
No. I was standing up for my my piece of crap friends from high school,
oh.
And then I got slammed in the face, and I will never. That's
never
why I don't do UFC. I don't do boxing. I don't do it because it makes me cringe when people get punched in the face.
I guarantee you've thrown some drinks though. Like in
No. I'm not like that. I'm not crazy.
Pulled hair, you've
Didn't
never...
no. Didn't we have this conversation last night at your event? Wait, like I don't do crazy violence like that.
You said you're not big on the drama.
No, right? I'm not big on drama. I mean, I'm big on sports drama.
Yeah.
I'll bark at you on the radio, but I'm not. I stay away from that crap. It's unnecessary. And people like, you know, small-minded jealousy, all that stuff. That's for small-minded people. I'm bigger picture.
You're big-minded.
Oh yeah, I'm big-minded. Yeah. Well, let's get to like kind of the scoop and why you're on here. First of all, I want to congratulate you on $3.1 million raised by the Greg Hill Foundation. You had a big event last night at Davio's in the Seaport. It was fantastic.
Congratulations. Thank you, but it's really not me. I don't do any of the work, and so I feel really bad when people say congratulations. Because we have an incredible team at the foundation our leader is Erin Lynch, and Erin is an amazing woman. And when we started the foundation 10 years ago, she was right there, and she has led its growth to where it is today. And then last night we were talking about the fact that there are over 22,000 donors.
It's amazing.
The average donation is $140. So at the old station at WAAF where I was before, many of you gave, and at the new station here at WEEI, many of you have given. So that's where we have great corporate partners. They donate, and we have 22,000 plus amazingly caring, passionate, kind people who have given to the foundation to get us to $3.1 million donated. So, you know what? We live in like the most philanthropical city and state in the country.
Yep.
And I don't know that Boston gets enough credit for that because everybody wants to call us a city of cheaters, and we cheat our way to Super Bowl wins, and we got a cheating baseball team.
Apparently there's a lot bigger cheaters than the Red Sox.
But think about how much people in this city give, and they give to lots of different causes, and they do it over and over again. So it's pretty extraordinary.
And their heart is really tied into sports and the radio stations. And I mean, one of the best things about being back in Boston, and one of the reasons I moved back here, is it's just the tight-knit, close community that people just really, really dig deep into their hearts. And when you hear a story, much like we watched the video last night, and how does this happen? How does something come about? Does someone from your foundation call you and say, I have a story that we're latching on to? Or is it just like, I don't know, you're watching the local WBZ feed and then, oh my goodness, there's a firefighter that lost his life in a five-alarm fire. How do you decide which of these families
We get lots of requests on the foundation website, which is thegreghillfoundation.org. And if you know about a family who is in need, you can go there and let us know about them. But in the case of December and Lieutenant Menard from the Worcester Fire Department, we were doing the show and the news broke. They made the announcement that he had passed away fighting that fire. And so why I wanted to create a foundation was so that we could immediately be ready when something horrible like that happens to be able to say, if you want to give, give here and we'll match your donation. So those are the two ways that it works.
How have you kind of like, I wouldn't say like digitized, but the word is I'm thinking like, it, just through social media, how is like the emergence and the rapid development of social media and, you know, and donations and this, and how has that helped the foundation over the years? I know that you guys had very humble beginnings at the beginning. And then looking at the list of the donors, it's every year, it just, the list gets longer and longer and longer. And I'm sure that it will double this year as well.
No, I think like everything else, social media has made a huge difference because it gives you the opportunity, in addition to the radio, to tell the story of the beneficiaries and to be able to share with donors who they're giving to and why they should give, and to be able to share, like, you know, we do all kinds of events all year long to raise money, and we do those so that we can make sure that every dollar that is given when I'm on the radio, 100% of it goes to the beneficiary family. Yeah. So we're able to, you know, get people to get the word out about the events and what we're doing. Mm-hmm. And so it's made a huge difference.
What's been your favorite story, or at least the feedback from a family that has come to you, just almost just written in tears and just saying what you have done, which story has impacted your life the most just based on everything?
I think it's not so much... When it comes to impacting my life, it's not the stories of what happened to the families. It's how they go forward. And I get the opportunity to meet them at what is, you know, most likely the worst time of their lives. You know, their father has died, or their husband has died, or their brother has been paralyzed, or, you know, the breadwinner in their family is gone and they have no idea how they're going to continue on. And then I get to see them later, and the sheer strength of the human character that these people have to be able to go on from that. I don't know how, you know, as a dad, like, I don't even like to say these words, but I don't know how losing a child and then going on.
Yeah.
And I don't know how people do it. I don't know how they do it. So that to me is that's the gift of this for me, is to be able to see those people and what they do afterwards.
What are your favorite events of the year? I know that...
For the foundation?
Yeah, favorite events of the year. I know that you have a big Boston Marathon. And I mean, I guess we have to have Rob Ninkovich on the podcast as well.
Because, Ninkovich is running the marathon
for us. He's running the marathon for you.
Yeah.
What is his threshold? Because I know that, like, he's been flashing some of his post-retirement endorsement deals that he's getting on Instagram.
Yeah.
I know that he, like, literally got a nice, nice, like, five-figure check from Men's Warehouse. I'm not going to say the amount. But I was like, wow, you're really selling out. And he's like, for blank, blank, blank.
Yeah.
I was like, okay.
So
I mean, like, he better be digging deep into his pockets and raising over six figures for the foundation.
He's raising a lot of money by running the marathon and joining our marathon team. And he's never, I think the most he's ever run is 3 miles or three and a half miles. So, we have a great marathon party, which is at the Capitol Grill right on the corner where the runners make their turn onto Boylston Street. It's the best view on the route. We have a, We have a great cornhole tournament that we do up in Maine at the Brunswick and Old Orchard Beach in June, which is just the whole beach is full of people playing cornhole and drinking, and it's a great event.
That's awesome.
We have a golf tournament. It's like our 26th year, 27th year or something like that when it comes to the golf tournament. So we have a lot of great events and a lot of opportunities to come to those events and meet our beneficiary families.
Awesome. Is there anything else that you want to say about just the foundation and your milestone and kind of what your goals are, at least from here on out? What would you like to see happen with the Greg Hale Foundation?
I would like to see us continue to be able to help more families and to be able to raise more money. And I think that for anybody who's has the opportunity to get involved in on any level with any kind of philanthropy, whether you're a volunteer or you decide you want to start something, and it doesn't matter how much you donate, how much time you give, what you can give. What matters is that we all have the chance to change the world a little bit, a teeny little bit, by doing well.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a quote that I really like, which I'll probably screw up, but it's Margaret Mead, who essentially said, never believe that a few caring people can't change the world, because indeed that's all who ever have.
Yeah.
And I love that quote because
that's nice. I like that.
Because you can think to yourself, how much, if I volunteer one day doing this, that, what difference is it going to make? And it makes a big difference, and everybody together can make a really big difference. So that's kind of my thought on that.
That's beautiful. All right, let's switch gears a little bit.
Yes.
We have an upcoming project that we want to announce to the people of WEEI.
Yes, yes.
Entercom, the Courtney Fallon Experience. It is a restaurant show.
Yeah.
Featuring myself and you. Well, yes. I mean, you're the headliner. I mean,
well,
geez.
No, you can be the headliner.
No,
okay.
No. It's Greg Hill and his.
I don't need that stuff anymore.
Greg Hill and his sidekick.
Yeah. So.
Yeah.
We're gonna.
It's called Extra Sauce.
Yeah, it's called.
I love the name. Can we get like a logo and print shirts?
Yeah, we'll have.
I want to start making merch. I mean, like literally, like you have 1,000 ad reads. I need to make some money off of this show at some point.
You can have it all.
Please.
I'm fine with that.
I'll donate. Have the proceeds to the Greg Hill.
We're gonna do like a 10 show run.
Yeah,
it's gonna air on Saturdays here on WEEI, and we'll and we're gonna talk about restaurants and bars and spirits and food, and we're gonna interview like the chefs and interview the like athletes and find out where they like to eat and all that stuff. So
this is right up my alley. My family, we owned a restaurant. I don't know if you've gone. It's next to Tufts University. It's called Rudy's Cafe.
No.
Rudy's Cafe. It's a Tex-Mex.
It's there, right?
It's still there. It's 37 years now. 37, 38 years. My dad was selling tacos and margaritas and 40 kinds of tequilas in the 80s.
Really?
Yeah. Over, he was making margaritas and selling tacos and making bank.
So what,
back
if
in the
I
80s.
Go there?
Yeah, you have I to go
if
there.
If I only order one thing, what do I have to get?
I mean, like, here's the thing: I don't eat pork anymore. That's the one thing I don't.
I need somebody to get juvenile the juvenile humor. That I go automatically to that. But go ahead, yeah. All right,
oh, what
so
do
you
eat
pork,
here?
You don't eat pork anymore.
Oh, so all right. Sorry, so you were making, of course, making a sexual reference.
No, I would never do that.
Okay, no.
If I can only order one thing, what should I order there?
Well, I would say a spinach quesadilla or the pulled pork sandwich. But I mean, the tacos are really, really good. I love the fish tacos.
Yeah.
Fish tacos. And the nachos are really the
soft
best.
Taco or
no,
hard.
Hard. Hard all day.
Yeah, I'm soft.
Yeah, you're.
Yeah. So that's like. But,
I think I heard your conversation about hard and soft tacos the other day. Yeah. No, I'm hard taco. Hard shell. Why do you want to eat some mush?
Yeah, why do you want to work? Why do you want to work when you're eating?
Yeah, it's not that you're working. I mean, it's chewing. It almost gives it a little extra flavor in your mouth.
Yeah, but then you get that hunk, like that tiny hunk of the hard taco that's like stuck in your gum. And
no, I mean, like, maybe people have had 10 root canals like you.
I mean, now you're attacking my teeth.
Also too, soft tacos are good for people that are really slow eaters. like, I just heard this conversation you guys were talking about going in about this restaurant that's charging you an extra $30 if you sit at their tables. By the way, I somewhat agree with Chris Curtis to say, like, that's kind of ridiculous. From someone who's waited tables her whole life. Like,
sometimes you get a long table and
yeah, but
and
you better, yeah, you better be milking their ass for, right, like, for like some, you know, some extra wine and spirits at the end.
Well, you know what was weird that came up during that discussion?
Wiggy talking about porn at the end of it.
I mean, that's, but
food to porn, which was great.
Is that some people don't tip on alcohol? They only tip on the food.
Oh, you know what? I hate it. Not on this. I'm a new employee here. I hate that. People who break down that take the tax out. You know, I mean, like, listen. Take the total number, move the decimal place over one, yeah, and double it. It's that easy.
I take 10% and double it. That's how I do
exactly,
it.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. I don't understand how it's so goddamn hard for people to figure out.
But how do you not tip on alcohol? Like, your drink is being made and then brought to the table, just like your food. How do you not tip on that?
I don't understand either. Because of what? Because it's like you're paying, because you consider you're paying tariffs and import tax for the alcohol that's coming over from France or Mexico or whatever. I mean, is that the logic? I'm not sure.
Yeah, I think it's ridiculous. So, but I like, if I'm going to a nice restaurant and paying a lot, I'm going to sit there for as long as it takes to enjoy the meal with whoever I'm dining with. So I don't necessarily agree with that restaurant in California who's charging a fee if you stay more than 90 minutes.
Well, I think that also too, I think it's more for the people that literally sit there and they say, oh, and you walk over and you touch the table, as we say in the restaurant business, you touch it and you're like, hey, do you guys need anything else right now? Then you start like, no, just another glass of water. And then you leave and then you come back. Hey, and then you start cleaning up the plates and then you start like wiping down the table. Like, hey, do you not get the point that like we need this? We need to flip this right now, you know?
Yeah, but I think
that you're the type of person that's not. I mean, we had like 10 people, at Mastro's in Seaport last night.
Yeah.
It was a quick flip. It was a quick flip in terms of just, we got there, we ate at around 9 o'clock, you know, I mean.
But we didn't get done till 10:30, quarter of 11 or something like that.
Yeah, but I mean, but I think.
That's the restaurant. That's, like, you got bottles of wine. Yeah.
There's also a limit. I mean, this should also go. It should be 90 minutes for a table of two. When you're as a hostess and you're setting a table, It's divided by, if it's a table of two, it's about a 90-minute flip. It's a table of four, it's 2.5 hours. So, I mean, that's just considered like on a nice restaurant scale. So, I mean, for a table like that, that's decent amount of time. You know, they're going to take their time, but I mean, they brought out the courses pretty fast.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I don't know. I mean, That's not necessarily what.
What did you get to eat? Did you get a steak?
I got the sole. It was pretty good.
You're that person.
I prefer fish over steak.
At a steakhouse?
It depends. I don't. I mean, like, listen. First of all, there's a damn good reason you picked me to be on your little restaurant show. I'm just telling you. I'm not super picky with my food, but I think late at night, like, if it was earlier, if it was like 7 o'clock, I go all in on the steak.
Like a ribeye?
Yeah. No, a filet. I'm a filet.
Ribeye is the most flavorful steak.
No, yeah, I'm all about the tender. So you like a lot of marbling on your steak?
Absolutely.
Okay. I'm not. Greg Hill, it's the Greg Hill Show. Well marbled. No, I'm a filet girl. I'm all about tender, lean. Nice piece of meat.
And what about no, like, steak sauce or béarnaise?
It depends. If the
butter,
steak
some
is.
Some people put butter on their steak,
dude,
which I think is
weird. The whole roast crisp butter is. Blech.
You don't like it?
Ugh. Yeah. Like, why do you need to butter your steak? The steak should be flavorful enough.
I think it's like a Southern thing, because my mom used to do that.
Yeah.
So I think it's like, maybe it's a Southern thing.
But I'm not opposed to a good, like, béarnaise sauce, peppercorn, all that good stuff.
Or like a Merlot reduction.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Yes.
Sometimes,
give it to me.
Sometimes I find Curtis in our office during the show drinking a Merlot reduction. I mean, I feel like that's an issue.
It really shows on his body. Listen, if he's not drinking alcohol anymore, I mean, like, he could drink all of the Merlot reductions that he wants because that's what he needs.
I think there's still some in there.
You think so?
I think so. I think that's
you think,
why.
I mean, like, I saw him today and I'm like, damn, dude, did you lose more weight, homie? Do we need to take you out to the steakhouse?
Yeah.
I don't know. Yeah. All right. So basically, the show is going to be airing on Saturdays.
Yep. Saturdays.
Saturdays.
Starting in February.
Starting in February. Yeah. Who's when you were thinking about this show, what are like the number one like priorities that you wanted for this restaurant show, extra
like,
sauce?
Mean, like, with, who's going to listen to it?
Like, no. I mean, I'm just talking about like who you want. First of all, we're having Devin McCourty on the pod, which is one of my oldest friends. I've literally known that kid since he walked into the league. I mean, we're the same age, and I've known his marketing manager for years, the one who created the McCourty Twins social media idea.
Yeah.
I've known Devin. He's like a brother to me. So, I mean, get prepared for the first episode. It's going to be like real hard sarcasm and like going hard at me because Devin, for one, is the type of guy that I invited him to one of my events. So my friends have this app called Wine and Dine, which is like a food Instagram app. It's a really good social media search tool where if you're in an area and you're like, damn, I need a coffee, and you can just search and open the map and find a coffee and all that stuff. So we had like a huge launch event 2 years ago. I introduced him to the 15 Beacon Wine Cellar. I mean, the amount of times that he's called like last minute, like, yo, Court, I need the hookup on the wine cellar, rolls up with like 5, 6, 7 like Patriots players. I remember like Alexa, the manager at the 15th Moo, she called me. She's like, damn, like Martellus Bennett walked in here with like chucks and like army shorts, like, and a hat. And then they were blasting music in the basement, like,
that's,
and this
okay,
is like,
though,
your
that's
frat
sweet.
Party.
It should be. That's
but that's but it's awesome.
How do you feel? Do you think people should be dressing up for dinner anymore?
No hats at the. My father's a big thing. No hats at the table, man. It's elbows off the table, but like no hats at the table.
I think you
don't
should
walk
still
into a steakhouse with chucks and a, like, don't just take your hat off. I mean, it's, I find that.
Like, who cares? Like, if you're dining at like Mastro's or whatever, you're paying. You should be able to wear what you want. Like, the hat thing. Guys should take their hats off when the national anthem is playing, and they should take their hats off when they go to Arlington National Cemetery. Have you ever been to Arlington?
Yeah, I have. I went to
the most amazing.
Yeah, it's incredible.
Touching, like, make you sit there and think about how insignificant what you've done for your living is,
yeah.
Place to visit. But
100%.
But I don't, hats in restaurants, I don't care. It's 2020.
I mean, well, if you walk into, I don't know. I mean, like, if you walk into a 4-star steakhouse, are you going to walk into a Barbara Lynch establishment in chucks and a t-shirt?
Yes, I would.
I mean, well, because that's who you are. But right. I mean, but if you don't think that it would offend the patrons that are there paying $1,500 for a nice event out with their friends.
Well,
you don't think it's going to annoy the other? I always think about the other people around. It's not that I don't, because I don't give a bleep what other people think of me. Obviously, like I carry myself with a certain respect, and you know, I know just because of based on how I was raised, like I'm, you know, but like I always think about other people, like damn, if I come from the beach, like I'm not gonna like want to go to Abe and Louis. I Capital Grill is so much better, but Abe and Louis has gone so downhill. By the way,
you think so?
If I'm not gonna walk into Abe and Louis, you know, with you know my pata sucia, like my dirty feet, and you know, and a sarong, you know.
Some people might pay to see that though. Like I like Abe and Louis for brunch. I go to brunch there.
Yeah,
their
dinner service has gone way downhill.
They have like I'm 100, so I like older dishes like Clam's Casino.
Yeah,
they have
okay.
like an amazing Clam's Casino there,
yep.
at Abe and Louis. But
yep.
I could see you saying that.
What's your favorite dish off the bat? Okay, what's your favorite food to eat when you're watching the game out at a bar like Banners or like Jerry Remy's, which is
You're not going to save this for the extra sauce show.
Oh, okay.
I mean, I could tell you. I think if I were at Banners watching the game, I like nachos.
Nachos.
I think nachos.
Ding, 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 ding.
And
ding,
I like
ding,
chicken
ding.
Nachos.
chicken nachos.
Yeah, with lots of sour cream.
Okay.
And lots of guacamole.
What level of cheese that you like on your nachos?
Well, the cheese should be every nacho chip in a nacho display.
Yes.
Should have cheese on it.
Yes.
There should be no chips
with
that
no
are naked.
Cheese.
Underneath all the other chips
My
that
man.
Have all the cheese on
My
it.
My man.
Agree?
Yes.
All right.
Well, then I'm just going to have to take you to Rudy's, and we're going to have to show you how it's done.
Okay.
For
I
real.
Can't wait.
For real.
Yeah.
Is there any, like, chefs that you're really excited to bring on to this show?
Yeah. Like, I want to get Ken Oranger on.
No,
I think Ken has a lot of great restaurants. His restaurant, Uni, which is on Mass Ave, is one of my favorite restaurants when
there.
It comes
yeah.
to sushi.
Does he own Oishi?
Yeah, no.
Okay.
That is Ting, who owns Oishi.
Okay.
Which I like. I love
Oishi or Duzo is
yeah.
I'm,
you should go to Uni. Like they do some really really cool things, and they have a James Beard winning chef, and they just won a James Beard Award.
Amazing. Do they do good? I'm like when I do sushi. This is something I picked up from my friends in New York. Like big omakase. I'm a big omakase girl.
They do really, really cool things like that I've never had, like scallops. So like raw scallops. Like I've never had raw scallops before.
Yeah.
So they do really, really cool things there. Michael Schlau is a friend of mine. Like we'll probably have Schlau on the show.
What restaurants does he
like
have?
Like Tico. He used to have Via Mata.
Yeah.
He's got restaurants in Washington, D.C. And
nice. Okay.
He created probably the best burger that was ever created in the history of burgers called the Schlau Burger, which was available at Radius, which was his restaurant for
good
10 years.
Was that in like Alston?
No, it was in the financial district.
Okay, yeah.
But just, and I think they still have that burger at Tico. So,
yeah.
So chefs, I think it'll be cool to get. Whether it's Bruins or Patriots or Celtics or Red Sox guys to talk about where they like to eat, what they like to eat.
Yeah.
I want to talk about, I think when we do our first episode, we're going to talk about this new concept that is coming to the Boston Garden that Truly is creating.
Oh,
and
yeah.
So,
yep.
I think we'll talk about all that stuff and just have fun.
Awesome.
Yeah.
The last question I really have for you here is what's really most impressed you about the way that Boston has grown in the culinary sense? I mean, 5 years ago, there was nothing in the financial district. And then I come back because, of course, like I worked in Miami. I always travel back. This is the first time I've lived in the city in like 7-8 years. Just in terms of like there's been a lot of the Sweet Greens, the Pretz, the like, you know, the mainstream restaurants that have kind of filled it out. But it's also really turned the corner in a culinary sense.
Oh, yeah.
Of there are new restaurants that pop up about just about every month that are amazing. I look at Boston, I'm like, damn, like my little city's all grown up.
So we're always pretty good, I think, at seafood, right?
Yeah.
So, you know, whether it was Anthony's Pier 4, like when I was growing up, my parents would once a year go out to dinner and they drive into the city and go to Anthony's Pier 4, right?
Yeah.
Like that was the restaurant. And then Legal and you had like Union Oyster House. And so we're always pretty good.
Yeah.
What's impressed me is how many great chefs are coming here and great, whether it's ethnic cuisine or what, they're creating these great places with really, really not only great service, but kind of unique offerings, craft cocktails, things that you never, like Boston used to be like meatloaf and potatoes, you know, like
Clams Casino,
like boring Clams Casino, things that old people eat. What do you want? I'm old. I like Clams Casino.
Okay.
You're going to take me to your restaurant.
Yeah, I'm going
to
take
your family restaurant.
Yes, yes.
And it,
you
nachos.
Know that listen, I'm telling you, my dad I will tell you this. Best queso you'll ever have in your entire life.
That's a bold claim.
Best salsa. I wouldn't say my dad's guacamole recipe. I mean, I've had better guacamole like in New York and other places. I mean, these recipes my father created years ago and they haven't changed. And, you know, it's a perfect blend. The chips and salsa and the queso and it does not disappoint. And I promise you, they don't have Clams Casino. We don't do much seafood there. But it just...
I mean, if I ask, they'll make it.
They'll just chop up some fish.
Pulled pork casino
in a nacho dish with baked beans a little refried on top.
I'm in.
Like, double baked bean kind of situation, but Tex-Mex.
I'm in.
All right.
And I'm really excited that you're going to do the show and that we're going to do the show together. So,
yes. Same.
It'll be on pretty soon. It's called Extra Sauce and it debuts in February.
First week of February, I believe.
Yes.
So after Super Bowl.
Right.
Is it it's during Super Bowl weekend?
I think it'll probably be the weekend after.
All right. That is Greg Hill of the Greg Hill Morning Show. Congratulations on the Greg Hill Foundation donating or collecting $3.1 million.
Giving, donating, collecting.
Because of his viewers, because of the power that he has in this city, you are a legend in these parts. And
legend
I am,
means you're about to die, but thank you. Thank you.
What do you All mean? Right.
Well, legend is like, that means you're old.
No, I mean, what do you mean? You can still be young and be a legend.
I think you're on the radio and be a legend.
You're a spry 40.
You can be like a hack on the radio and be a legend. You have to be like a, you can stumble Larry
in.
Larry Bird is a legend.
You can stumble in 10 minutes before the show and just carry the show the entire way.
Yeah.
I mean, Danielle, if she wasn't so tired because we had a late night last night, she was going to be on the show here too.
She was like,
what's up, girlfriend?
She needed a nap.
All right, yeah. So Extra Sauce is the show. It's airing on Saturdays. I'm happy to have a podcast that we're just talking about something other than sports, you know, while I wait for Mutt tonight, my shift from 7 to 9 on Fridays, if you want to hear me. If these are like Greg Hill listeners, Courtney Fallon, I'm on Mutt at night, 7 to 9, that's my shift. And then I'm like kind of six woman off the bench. All right. Thanks for joining me. This was perfect. I love it. Can't wait for next week.
All right.
See ya. Adios.
O'Reilly. Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them... Yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.